From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. The Rangers lose by a score of 5-3 to the Columbus Blue Jackets. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher app. So, Rangers fall. That's two games in a row. Kind of a hard-fought game for the guys. There's some good spots from this game, and there's some not-so-good spots from this game. You definitely have some of those takes. With the blue shirts. But I definitely want to talk about some of the guys that stood out. Like Kevin Hayes had somewhat of a good game today, very active. Chris Kreider had a phenomenal game offensively. But defensively, the Rangers still lack. The Rangers still need to find ways to slow down the momentum of other teams in the offensive sets. Some of these goals, like the first goal given up in the game in the first period to Wimberg. For the Blue Jackets, the Rangers needed to get that going as well. But the Blue Jackets overall is just a better team, a better roster. The goalie, when he's on his game, Bobrovsky, when he's on his game, it could be very effective. But there are some things about this game that I definitely did worry about, because I feel that to pressure Columbus, to pressure the Blue Jackets, like almost any other goalie, you have to pretty much attack the neck. So if the Rangers did that more often like they did in the first period, maybe we're talking a different tune. Maybe we would have got 2 points out of this. But the Rangers did pick it up in the third period when they needed to. They definitely didn't quit. They fought. They narrowed the gap when they got some goals. But overall, there's too much Columbus Blue Jackets in the end. They bring out the lines. Over and over, they come in waves, and now you add Ian Cole to the mix from the Pittsburgh Penguins. They have a good team, and you have to pretty much be on your A game for the most part, and that's the reason why they're in the wild card position that the Rangers are not in. And for the Blue Jackets, Artemi Panarin, once again, is a killer of the Rangers, the New York Rangers killer, a professional hitman for the New York Rangers. Once again, does it again, gets a hat trick, the last goal being an empty netter. To seal the deal, winning at 5-3 over the Rangers. So, some points I want to go back as far as this game. Where do I start with? Chris Kreider, once again, I think a lot of the better play, what we see with this Rangers team, even in some of these losses, is him being active. And I think that's one of those inconsistencies we used to see with him over the years is, we know he had the potential. We know he had the ability. But I have to say, even since coming off the injury, coming back after all the trades, Chris Kreider has skated well. And he's helped Mika Zibanejad look even better than what he has looked throughout his funk in 2017-2018. Chris Kreider has played phenomenally. I mean, the deflections, the attack at the net, and that's something he's been working on as well in the offseason. I thought he played a phenomenal game, and I think him and Zibanejad have a nice chemistry. And if they could just stay healthy, that's their only pretty much blemish is it going into next year. If they could stay healthy and you pair them up with another winger, even if it's Jesper Fast or somebody else, and then Jesper Fast had a good game, we'll talk about that in a minute. The Rangers could play look very decent with the youth of guys that's coming up with the draft picks. The guys that we already did drafted, the prospects, the defensemen. I like some of the guys. There's a couple of other missing pieces here and there. But overall, the Blue Jackets was a much, much tougher team that they had to go up against tonight, man. But as far as on the Chris Kreider perspective, even the goal, cutting it to 4-3, what a beautiful deflection that was. I thought that was very nice. The Rangers could have mailed it in. They fought. They took the shot from the point and deflected it in between the pads of Sergei Bobrovsky. Excellent attack by him as well. And even the ones that set up Mika Zibanejad as well. on the power play. And that goes to even go back to the game versus Pittsburgh. There was that phenomenal play in the overtime, just abusing the defenseman on that Wednesday night game versus the Penguins, sending up the game-winning goal to Zibanejad. Then you can even look at the game versus St. Louis when they went up 3-2 in that overtime. With the not in the overtime, in the third period, where he had the behind-the-back pass sending up Zibanejad. Kreider has played excellent. But that the only thing we had with Kreider was, could he keep it up? And you've seen a very good streak of Chris Kreider in points, especially with the assists. Even some of these goals that he's getting, these deflections, this is something, like, I guess you could say Ranger fans have been asking for a while. Got to see more of it. But even with the last half a dozen to eight games left in the season, you have more of a sample size after coming off the injuries to see what he could do as far as getting back to the full things, man. But wow, pretty good game from him despite the loss. And you don't know what it really was frustrating. Let me go back to that go-ahead goal or the insurance goal by Panarin. They made it 4-2 before Kreider scored the tying goal. Good. I don't know if I could blame Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, in the sense of things, you can blame Henrik Lundqvist for allowing that second Panarin goal. But I think he thought the refs were going to call or blow the whistle. And I think it was kind of a natural reaction as far as, okay, they're going to stop the play. And credit to Columbus for Artemi Panarin still fighting for that play, still continuing on, getting that loose puck and punching it in for making it 4-2 for Columbus. I thought that that was a very, very key goal for them. I think that kind of won the game despite us cutting the lead to 4-3 and we had the extra man in the power play on top of that. But it's little things like that that can really make or break your game or your hockey game. The matchup on the ice with the Panarin goal back, the setback, it's just the split decision on that type of play could really, really hurt your team, man. And I think it was more credit to Columbus than Lundqvist just having a brain fart, waiting for the referees to blow the whistle. I think that's the one thing I could take out of that is, man, if he had to stick with it, maybe he made the save, maybe we tie up the game. Who knows? You never know what could happen in that sense with the Rangers. But I thought they had a chance, man, on that, man. I really did, man. So many things to talk about. Like, who else could we go to? I mean, Kevin Hayes had a good game tonight. I know he had the two-on-one break with Jesper Fast, and he had waited on the shot. But he did make up for it on the penalty kill, getting the shorthanded goal. And I think he's at a career high right now with 21 goals for him. I thought he had a shot on goal that hit the post. He played a very good game tonight. He had some little slow moments as well on the ice with Jesper Fast. But Jesper Fast is a guy who's helped his game, but definitely enhanced his game to the point where the great defensive play on the penalty kill, setting up Kevin Hayes on that shorthanded goal. I thought Hayes played all right, played pretty well. It just really comes down to the Blue Shirts. You got to finish off defensive plays. You got to finish off the guys. You got to finish off guys getting goals. I thought that in that case with defensive-minded play on that penalty kill by Jesper Fast was excellent. Very, very good, man. Very, very good on that penalty kill to set up because he faked the going in outside and he turned around and used the stick to deflect the puck to set up Kevin Hayes on that shorthanded goal. Jesper Fast, putting him on that line, alternating between the one and the twos, man, just shows to be a good gamer, man. Very good skater, very good defenseman, and very good on the penalty kill. Type of guys that we need, man. I would like to say it's more on top of that with the Rangers on tonight's game as well. It's just that if I had to say like this with the Blue Shirts – and we talk about the youth, we talk about the guys that we're trying to getting more acclimated, you know, and like Anil Piongo, I thought I had another good game, and I like his game as well. Being a general out there, being a pest on defense, and also setting up guys at the point. You know, we saw the shot setting up the Zibanejad goal. There's things that this team could do if they could really put it together. You could be back in the playoff hunt if the general manager could put these things together. Maybe add a veteran here and there, a guy who's going to be at the net. Guys who are going to be attacked and more stay at home on defense. You got to see a little bit more of that, but I thought it's just more about a complete 60-minute game with the blue shirts, and that's what it really comes down to. That's really comes down to, man, because I think if had that not happened with Lundqvist, with delaying, I guess he was waiting for the whistle. I understand, and I think it's one of those things when you played in the league as he has, in 9.8 out of 10, you would think or assume the ref was going to come in and give you a save or give you a bailout so you can get another faceoff. And got to give credit to the Columbus Blue Jackets for sticking with that puck and making it a 2-goal game at that point. And I think that's the backbreaker on this team. And you got to give Rangers credit for trying to fight and get back into this game. They played better as the game went along. I thought early in the first period, like a lot of Rangers games, especially early this season, they really started off slow. They not like the same team in the last couple of years, because the Rangers used to be relentless with shots on goal and really put in really quality shots on goal. And when you play the Columbus Blue Jackets, you can't take too many deep shots from the point, because Bobrovsky is too good of a goalie to see them coming. And that's what I hated when the Rangers played the Columbus Blue Jackets. They used to settle for a long shot, and you have a lot more success the way the Rangers did in the third period. You attack them. You go right to the net. You tackle them and set up deflections. You tackle them, get in front of the net, and maybe get a rebound. That's how you beat the Columbus Blue Jackets. But in this sense, man, you got to get credit for another hat trick for Panarin, and he does what he does. We'll talk a lot more of all these Rangers as well as with the Rink Podcast here on Bleed Blue Show. Let's talk to RP and get his thoughts on this game. I mean, even going back to the St. Louis game, that bothered me with John Gilmore and that overtime. Man, maybe we could have that dialogue. RP on Facebook, Twitter, and Ranger.Proud on Instagram, and Elite Sports New York writer for our New York Rangers. RP, talk to us. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Sorry, a little late there. Running around a bit, but I was listening to what you were saying there. I thought that the game-winning goal that you were talking about, I think all of them didn't play the whistle. If you, mm-hmm. you watch the replay, Hank thought he had the puck, but all the Rangers relaxed, mm-hmm. and then I forgot who it was that scored, came around, and then the Rangers went into panic mode, and they scored. And that's, once again, you know, fundamental hockey. If you don't hear a whistle, keep playing it, because if Lundqvist didn't know where the puck was, how could any of the defensemen or the other players know where the puck was? So keep playing until you hear a whistle. So as much as you normally get that whistle quick, the referee was on that side of the ice, or he saw the puck lose, and before you know it, you know, they scored a goal that you think Hank made a great save on initially. It's just been that's a little bit of a problem area that the team has had, amongst other things. Play the whistle. Play it straight through, and that doesn't happen. Keep on your guys. So it's, you know, it was a good game for the Rangers. I love how they kept coming back. It was nice to see the big-name guys, Kreider, Zibanejad, playing good hockey tonight. And, you know, they fell a little short to a really good Columbus team. So, you know, they're playing well. They always play well. They have a good system going there. And, you know, I got to tell you, a lot of good positives tonight. Like Gilmore looked good. Again, Pionk looked good. Fast is playing well. So, you know, the Rangers are playing pretty or much better hockey after the trade deadline. You can see it. Their whole demeanor on the ice seems better. The mistakes are the mistakes. That's just something you got to keep trying to correct, and hopefully in the offseason and next year they'll get better at it. But in this instance, it wasn't a bad hockey game. They never really let Columbus get away from them. They kept the 2-1 goal lead. They kept it close for the most part. And the power play looked good tonight. So, you know, some good positives compared to what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. You got to give them that.
Yeah, man, you mentioned the power play. They're at a 50% rate right now at the last couple of games, a 5 out of 10. How great is that
yeah.
to see them? Because, you know, it seems like it's not going to happen on even strength unless you have a good rush by either Buchnevich, VC, or somebody like Chris Kreider to set things up. But the power play has been looking good going into the last several games of the season. And I think that was something very positive to look at this. I was saying about this right before you came on, man, about Chris Kreider. He's played very good since coming off the injury. And since all these guys have left the team, we could go back to the St. Louis game. He had, I don't know if you remember, the behind-the-back pass he set up Zibanejad in St. Louis when they went up 3-2. He's played great, man.
Well, he's taken advantage. He had said he time out. He realized how you got to take advantage of every opportunity you get. And he seems to be playing with that edge now. It's the edge that we've seen sporadically through his career. You know, he's a streaky hockey player. But since he's come back from the injury, he's putting a lot of good games together game after game. And I noticed it tonight, last minute. I don't know if it was the first night or if I missed it the last couple of games. But they put the A on his shoulder. At least tonight he had the A on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And I'm sure
right,
that gave
right.
him. I don't know if tonight was the first game he had it or not. I don't recall, but I think that gave him a little bit of a lift. I think, you know, you're the guy now. You know, he has some responsibility, and he's playing well with it. He looked really good. I love the way he plays. When he plays the way he plays tonight, with that edge, you know, he hits, he skates hard, he has a good shot, he finds good scoring opportunities, he makes some good passes. That's the Kreider we want to see every single game. Because he changes the whole outcome of the game. He changes the outlook of the game, I should say. And that's what you want. So I hope he can keep it up consistently through the end of this season and into next season. Because the Rangers are rebuilding, but they're going to need the Kreider. They're going to need a Kevin Hayes. They're going to need Zibanejad to lead these newer kids that are going to be on the team and that are on the team now. So it's exciting to watch them playing. You just hope he continues it.
And that's my concern with Chris Kreider is always that sporadic. Use the word sporadic. You could have been more accurate with that terminology, but it is the truth. You're right. That's the one thing
I worry about
Chris Kreider, because that's the one thing I do worry about when it comes to him, because he goes through these stretches. But this is one stretch in this particular sense when the season's pretty much done for the Blue Shirts, and he's playing hard the way he has. Especially the opponents. Go back to the game last Wednesday, what he did in the late in that game, up the rush to set up the advantage that game-winning goal. That was great versus Pittsburgh. Even against St. Louis on Saturday and tonight. So you put up the last three or four games and even on the power play. He's looked great, man. Even hitting at the blue line, he's doing it at all, man. But my only question, like you said, is the sporadicness. Can he keep it up? I'm apprehensive about that, but I'm going to just enjoy the moment for what it is right now and the last several games and see what this team goes. And maybe you're right about that edge with the alternate captain getting that A for tonight's game versus the Blue
Jays. Sometimes it hurts. I always thought McDonough never played it up to his potential because he carried the weight of that captaincy on him. I just never thought he played the same. You know, some players just handle it differently. Zuccarello, I think, plays the same kind of game with or without it. Mark Stahl, didn't matter if he had the A or not, he plays the same style of game. Maybe this will help a Chris Kreider. You know what I'm saying? You hope so. The consistency thing we have spoken about for a couple of seasons now. And he doesn't just have, like, on and off games. When he's off like 10, 15 games at a clip, you won't even hear his name. So that's what I mean by consistency. He doesn't need to score every game, but he needs to be engaged, involved, and whenever he's on the ice, because he can tilt the game the other way. So that's what I'm looking for when I say consistency. So we see where it goes. I am impressed with the way they're playing, knowing that mathematically they're still in the playoffs, but they're pretty much done. I like that they're playing like they're done. I don't like this talk of, well, they should tank so they get a better draft pick. That's not the way you do it. You play all the way through, and wherever you wound up in the standings, whatever happens, happens. I don't believe in this. The Rangers should are winning at a bad time. That's ridiculous talk. and it's been written a lot and it's been said a lot. I don't go for that at all. I want to see the Rangers win all these games if they could. You know, I really want to see if Lundqvist could get to 30 wins again. I doubt he will. It's just not in the cards, but go down fighting is my theory.
Oh, dude. You ain't got to tell me nothing. There's no, we don't do that tank talk here on the Bleed Blue Show at all. You might cut off.
No.
You might get hung up on talking that tank talk here on this platform. Well, we don't do that
Absolutely.
Over here. Oh, no, not at all. But it goes back to the question about Chris Kreider. I look at it like this. If I don't think he's going to get the C anyway, you know, the captaincy, whatever. Even if he does. If he did, dude, I'll put it like this. I think that's a lot of pressure for him. I don't think that would be on more so on him to like you said about McDonough. I think that'd be a lot to take on, man. I don't see that with him. I just think he's more better off how he is, whether he has the A or not. Let him be his free flowing self. It's just a matter of just being in the game. I think a lot of that, to your point about him sitting, you know, with him being injured, you get to sit back and watch the season mentally while everybody's doing their thing. So he's kind of got that spurt where he has missed a chunk of games, and he gets to – now he's kind of more fresh than anybody now, you know, after full strength and skate arounds and all that other stuff. The point is he got to sit back, rest a little bit, and then come out firing, even with the season, like, hanging on the threads. He's more amped than anything. I look at it. I think he's more different than if he would have been healthy. Because if he had he been more healthy throughout those rest of those games, I don't think we're going to get the same type of production. That's just me. I mean, that's just going off what I've seen over the years with him, with him not being injured. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. No, I agree with that. Right now, I couldn't even tell you who should be where the captain's at. It's weird, but. You know, they made a lot of moves. They got rid of a lot of veterans. And, Zuccarello, I don't know if Zuccarello would be the captain. You know, they keep talking that they may move more players once the playoffs are over and you can start making trades again. Gorton's given every indication that he's not done. Well, if he's not done, you can't give anyone the C. You have to wait to next season, maybe even into the season before you decide on that, because you just don't know what team you have right now. Need someone who's strong.
That's easy. You already know my answer, John Tavares, man. Are you crazy? Are you kidding me?
That's it. You have another one going there. Let me tell you something. We've been talking about that a lot, and a lot of people in speaking about John Tavares. I think the Islanders made a huge mistake not signing him. I don't see how you can let him go free agency. They are going to offer him, not even the Rangers. He is going to offer some big time numbers. And then one thing that they can sell on them is, hey, we have a home arena. The Islanders are going to be running around for three more seasons. Some games in Brooklyn, some games at Nassau Coliseum. They even start construction in Belmont yet. There is so much going on. I don't think there's not a huge selling point here. I don't think there's a selling point for any free agent. It's really hard not to have a home rink. And in essence, that's what the Islanders are at. That's what they're at. I agree. I mean, I don't know if he would want to come to the Rangers knowing he'd have to face the Islanders the 6-7 times a year. But, man, money talks.
I'm not.
Money talks, and the Rangers are going to have a lot of money. So,
yeah, I know.
That's
my point.
You know something? And,
think about
and here's the other point. But here's the other point, Steve, not to cut you off. Whenever a really good caliber player puts on our sweater, they turn to don't know what. So I wouldn't get my hopes on it if they signed them anyway.
I didn't look at it from that point. Let me look at that historically. I have to come back to you as far as guys. See, a lot of those guys who put on the sweater were more later in their careers, but I can't think of a guy who's more in his prime than he is.
Yeah, you know, you might be right with that. You might be right with that. It's a real interesting question. I know people are ripping Garth Snow for not signing him. And I got to tell you, Steve, I don't think it was his decision. I don't think he would have let him linger on there. I really don't. Why would you? Why go to free agency? Anything can happen. The Toronto Maple Leafs could find a chunk of money and say, come home. Come play with Austin Matthews. I mean, It's a really weird spot to be in. It is. I mean, I just don't see how you didn't lock him up. I mean, this guy is 10 years away from writing his ticket. You know, this is for any young player when you get to that unrestricted free agent, you're talking millions and millions of dollars. You want everything to be perfect, and now he's going to take his time with it. And now, never mind the Islanders before, just dealing with JT. Now they got to deal with JT and maybe the Rangers and maybe the Maple Leafs and maybe the Penguins. Who knows who's going to be throwing numbers out? How much of a hometown discount is he going to give the Islanders? I mean, how much money is he going to leave on the table? This guy's, he's just a great hockey player. So now you put him on a team with even better hockey players. And imagine if JT goes to Tampa. Wow. I mean, I don't know if they could afford him. I don't know what the cap situation is. This is just us talking. But can you imagine if he made a move like that? As good as Tampa looks now, you put JT on that team, with Kucherov and Stamkos. Not that it would be on the same line, but how do you defend either of those lines? I mean, it's amazing what they could do. So I think the Islanders are in a heap of trouble. I'm not saying he won't sign with New York. He probably has a lot of loyalty to where he started, where he came up. But I think when his agent comes up to him going, A, B, and C is offering you all this money, I think the Islanders might really be in trouble.
Yeah, I want to say it like this for the record, so people who are going to listen to this audio podcast, I'm not dispelling any rumors. RP made the point of who's going to have the captaincy. I just said John Tavares. Not saying he's coming here. I'm not saying he will be here. I said you're going to have the cap space, and logically, why wouldn't you when you have the money to sign him, and he doesn't even have to leave the city. I'm not saying I don't know where in the city he lives, but the point is he doesn't have to go far changing teams, and it would be great for the rivalry, man. It would be great for the rivalry if he did that. I mean, that's just looking from a fan perspective, of course, but I think that would make a lot of sense if he was to move on. But going back to our own team, you know, because we got a lot of points we got to discuss. Because Kevin Hayes, like I said earlier, but right before you came on as well, he had a shorthanded goal tonight. He had that one play with him and Fast on that 2-on-1, and he waited. I thought he should have passed it up. But overall, he had a good night, and he's having a career year as far as scoring goals. I like to see him step it up as well, even going in the rest of this season. What's your thoughts on as far as him? And even Jesper Fast, we don't talk about him enough. We only talk about him when he's injured or coming back from injury. But today, man, I mean, the penalty kill, the defense, he's setting up guys, even playing on that first line last several games. I mean, what's your thoughts on both of those guys?
Well, I tell you, Hayes said, he set a career high for goals scored with 21. Another player that ever since the trade deadline went, because his name was mentioned a lot, he seemed to relax, and as he relaxed, his game developed. His game opened up. He started playing a lot smarter. He started taking a lot better shots, and he started scoring goals. So I love the way he's playing right now. I really do. Fast, it's weird. They put Fast with Zibanejad and I forgot who the other player is. And Kreider, excuse me. And he's been playing really well. It's a weird thing with him. They took Buchanan off the line and put Fast up on the line. I thought the line's playing really well. I don't know if it's just for a moment. I mean, you would never think Jesper Fast would be a first-line player. Not taking anything away from him, but on any other team, he wouldn't be on the first or the second line. So he's really clicking here now. I don't know if it's just for the stretch. I don't know if he can keep it up, but you know what they say, ride with it. So I'm thrilled to see the way he's playing. I like his game overall. He's another one that's going to have to be around to help all these kids that are coming up. So, just keep going at this point. Keep going.
What do you want to see with Pionk's game for the rest of the season? Because I think he's been scrappy. He looks good on setting up the point with the power play. I like him as far as his control. He plays very patient for a young guy. He looks like a veteran out there. Anything you want to talk about with him and Gilmore is Gilmore is more offensive minded, but I think that game in St. Louis, that was terrible defensively. I know the coaches probably pulled him to the side after they lost that game, giving him that overtime goal with Gilmore. falling the way he did. But Bianca and Gilmore, man, what's your thoughts on both of those guys?
I think everyone's still got to remember that they're rookies. They're going to make those mistakes, and that's part of the growing pains that's going to come with it. But on the flip side to it, it is just great to see the energy on the ice. Gilmore's fast. He's really good on the power play. He takes the body. He has a good shot. I mean, even tonight, he during that perfect scoring opportunity with like 20 seconds left, he got a good shot off, but it hit one or both of the Columbus Blue Jackets that was standing in front of him and kind of trickled in on goal on Bobrovsky. But he was there. You know, the opportunity was there because he was in the right spot. He didn't shy away from it, which is great to see. I like Pionk from when he was up in training camp. I thought he should have made the team. He was the one who was really disappointed I could have sent down. He's only going to get better. At first, we were saying when he came up, well, you know, he's playing a lot of top minutes where he really shouldn't be, but the Rangers' defense is inadequate and they're hurting and missing players. But now you fast forward, what is it, 15, 20 games later? Looks a lot more comfortable in the system, looks a lot more comfortable on the ice. Like you said, he's got an edge to him. He was out there in the last minute of play tonight. I like both of them. I think the Rangers' future with these kids is really is going to be set in a bad season. It's actually nice to see that ray of light at the end of the tunnel. You know, you got Gorgiev and that's probably going to be the backup next year. I don't think the Rangers have as much concern as they did going, you know, into the season and through the season. I think these two guys are going to play really well on defense. I'm looking forward to it. And, Steve, we can finally start talking about some offense because word is Anderson and Heidel are coming up in the next couple of days. So another thing.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about that.
These games may not be as important because they're really not playing for a playoff spot. But for the kids coming up, you know, Anderson's going to get 9 games of experience in the NHL before next season starts, which is great. Heidel's going to be able to play 7 more games, and you're definitely going to see a difference from everything I've read and what I've seen from Wolfpack and his stats and all. So you got to be excited about what's coming up future-wise for these kids. Gordon should be – hopefully he's going to be impressed. You know, these are his two really good first-round picks that he put a lot of eggs in a basket to get and to work out. So I think it won't be just that same old, well, let's play out the last 9 games of the season and go golfing. The Rangers are going to have something to show to the fans in the next week. I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, because you mentioned about Heidel and when he was with the season, in the season early before he went back to Hartford and Anderson. These are of our 7th and 21st overall picks. And we need to see what they could do in the last couple of games with all this other youth that we got. I mean, what Ranger fans should be excited for, because we knew about the longevity of the old regime. Didn't get a cup out of it. And you don't really have to – you still have draft picks. We still got a roof for Tampa Bay. You want to get that first rounder going forward into the next draft. But I'm talking about current prospects that we got right now with Anderson, Heidel, and Neil Pionk and Gilmore. You got a nice core. Then add on, let's not even forget current guys that you could call them vets. They're still young. Zibanejad, Kreider, 20s. I mean, it's not like they're like 28. I mean, the elder statesman of this team is Stahl and Zuccarello. So
right, and you know,
and then Kevin Hayes is in his mid 20s as well. Kevin Hayes as well.
And
mid-20s.
These are going to be the guys that are. That's why a lot of people don't realize when you talk rebuilding, you're still going to need experienced veteran players to help all these younger guys going through a whole 82-game season and the ups and downs and playing at Madison Square Garden and all of that. You know, there's a lot to it. So it should be some exciting time. It should be some fun hockey. I mean, that's what you really got to look to. There's not that much more to look to for the season, but I'm really interested to see how they come up to the NHL now. They're not sure. The first rumor was Anderson was going to be up for the Thursday's game in Philly, against Philly. But now another rumor is going around is they may wait and bring him and Heidel up together. This way it's not as much as a culture shock for Anderson.
I like that better.
Nothing's been confirmed
yet.
I would think if they're going to bring Anderson up, it'll be done tomorrow. If the Rangers don't make an announcement that they recalled him, then I would think that if they don't bring him up for Thursday, then they probably will wait. Because only one more game until Heidel can come up. So it's all up to how the Rangers want to do it. You know, I'm of two minds of it. You want to know something, but he's a pro, Anderson. I don't think it matters if it's one game went out of him or not. I really don't. If you can get 9 games to get and it's in the play, then why wait? I don't see what you get out of waiting. Bring him up and then bring Heidel up on Monday and they'll be good to go. And let's get Anderson his 9 games in. Every game will be that much more experience he gained going into training camp next year. Playing against Philadelphia is going to be an awesome game to begin with. A rough team. Philly's in the playoffs. They're playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll get a lot out of that. You know, you got to get the first game for it sometime, right? So why wait?
Right.
But whatever they decide to do, there's really no wrong answer to it. Everyone knows that they're going to be recalled. Everyone knows they're going to be coming up. I would think with them two coming up, you're probably not going to see probably Holland and McLeod anymore. So the two guys are going to have to sit. I would think if those would be the two guys that go. Paul Kelly's
yep.
been playing pretty solid, but who knows what AV is going to do at this point.
Yeah, he had the high sticking penalty tonight, but we'll give Paul Kelly give him a pass tonight. we talked about Pionk, but let's not forget about Mark Stoll, who's played actually good hockey. I think a lot of that credit to Pionk's success on the ice and letting him free to do what he does is that stay-home defenseman with Mark Stoll
mm-hmm.
quietly has played
Agreed.
Very well. That's a guy you've actually been on top of it for a good part of this year, but I've gotten to see a little bit more since the trade, and I thought Stoll has been very stable with Pionk, man.
Yeah, well, originally Pionk was playing with Brady Shea, and then I forgot when they
mm-hmm.
did it, but they started putting him with Stoll. I think that works out. I think both of them were good. I think Stoll's, like you said, that so much of that stay-at-home defenseman that Pionk always knows he's there if there's a problem. And you know, something, again, all these rumors about are they going to buy out Stoll's contract, all like they, you know, you got to be careful with that. You need who would be the veteran defenseman if you get rid of Stoll? Shattenkirk or Brady Shea? I don't see why you would move Stoll at this point. It's not like he's a detriment to the team. He's definitely able to help Gilmore and Pionk in a full season. He's playing some big minutes himself. So, you know, I really hope the Rangers think about that one because the last couple of blocks have not worked out well for them. Girardi's doing great. Brad Richards went off and won the Stanley Cup. Let's relax with buyouts because they're not always – it's always about money, granted, but it's more than that now. You really have to watch what you do in this rebuild mode. You know, the Rangers could work it out if they really play some competitive hockey, make next year pretty interesting. Maybe they can get a playoff run. Maybe they can get a wild card. It's hard to tell now and it's hard to talk about, but if they put the right combination of players on the ice and get the right coach, not to say they're getting rid of AV, but – it's a lot of ifs, I understand, but it doesn't look as dismal as it did prior to the trade deadline. I think people don't realize how much weight was on all these players waiting for all these moves to be made. And I think once the moves were made and it was done with, they're playing much better hockey. I mean, I think they're 5-3-2 since the trade deadline. Much better than
mm-hmm.
they were before the trade deadline. So, you know, they feel much more relaxed on the ice.
Well, the effort's been better, and then the personnel, you have better personnel there as well. I think that has a lot to do with it. Like I said, Chris Carter has been a lot. He makes the team better. There's no way around
it.
He
makes the team better.
Finish has been better.
He finally came out of his shelf. He was hurt, you know. He did the same thing last year and he got hurt. It took him like a whole season to find his game again. You really hope next season he can get 35, 40 games in. You know, it seems like he gets hurt so early, and then it's like starting over, and he just doesn't get that groove going again. So it's nice to see. And you just got to, you know, look. You know, you hate to say I'm already looking for next season when the season isn't over, but you need to start finding some positives. In the last couple of weeks or so, we've seen some positives.
Yeah, I mean, you get your best player on the team back. Your team, your play is going to be better. And giving them the eight tonight shows that that's the representation you want from the team, from the player to the team as well. Let's see, Zuccarello as well. That's another guy who's actually, before even last week, he played well. Good shots on goal, always finding guys. You said something about him not being the captain, but the captaincy for him. Not that I'm not even going to put a lot of onus on that. I'm just looking at overall play. him and Hayes historically played well overall for the most part, and you just got to see more guys. So, like you said, if you're talking about Hedo and Anderson, you put them in, you take out Kerry McLeod, I guess you're going to skate those two guys with Desharnais. I guess that's how you're going to do it. Namisnikov and Buchnevich. VC had a good week last week. I know he was a little bit quiet tonight on the quiet things versus Columbus, but you're talking about a squad. I guess the whole point I'm trying to make is you're trying to get back to a solid top six, a solid bottom six, and then whatever you can make out of the defenseman with the youth the last couple of games and see where it goes and see how fun it could be and let them play hard. And maybe I think mathematically you're still in it, but I think it's really over realistically. But I'm looking forward to adding the other youth guys with some of the guys that we attained in the trades. Some of the, you know, Buchnevich. Oh, we got some young guys, RP. And I think that's the exciting part of being the future. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. The whole complexion of the team has changed over, you know, over this last season. You know, next year you'll have a healthy Shattenkirk. You'll have Stahl. You have Shea. You have Gilmore. You have Pionk. It's a lot better defense than they had this year. And you had Camphor. You had Holden. McDonough was not bad. It's just the way that it worked out, so I don't want to knock McDonough. But there's defensively, hopefully, they can just tighten up a little bit more, not make those same turnovers, those same mistakes, and we can just build from that. You know, going into next season now, you don't know if you're a playoff team or not. So you have a little bit of that pressure off you. A little bit of, oh, they're a playoff team, they're a playoff team, they should be doing this, they should be doing that. Now that you're going into, well, here's a team with, you know, maybe 7-8 veterans and the rest all young rookies or all young first, second-year players. It's a lot different. It's a night and day difference. So I think the pressure will be on them as to excel. I think you're going to have a lot of growing pains. People are going to have to understand that, a lot of mistakes, but mistakes that they can learn from, not like this year when it was just the same mistakes over and over for whatever reason. So you can make mistakes, but you need to learn from each one. And I think if they grow from that, you know, they can make a run at it. They can be a competitive hockey team. No one thinks they're going to be a horrible club, but no one thinks that they're going to be a playoff team either. So you got to go with that. You know what I'm saying? You just got to see where it takes you. It's a little bit hard to predict where they're going to be and what they're going to do next season, but you can predict that they're going to be faster. They should be a lot more offensive, especially if Higher Lenton is to make the team. But, you know, they're also a wild card, too. Not every great first-round draft pick comes up to the NHL and is lights out. There's going to be a lot of pressure on those two guys to excel because everyone's looking for that. So that's where you have Zuccarello and Kreider and Hayes. That's their job, to just take them under their wing and get them acquainted with the system and tell them you can't score every time you touch the puck. Just play your game and see what happens. And that's what they need.
Definitely. Come on with points and then we'll wrap up. Let me ask you this about what did you take from last week's Wednesday night game versus Pittsburgh, even the game that we lost in St. Louis, a team who's had their own troubles to extremes. So what did you take from those two games?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. The St. Louis game I didn't see. I read them. I'm on it. St. Louis is always a tough team. The Pittsburgh game, you and I just hate the Penguins. There's no way around it. Whenever they play them, my theory is they should always beat them, which probably isn't rational, but that's just the way it's been lately. I don't know. The Pittsburgh, they won. It was a good game. It wasn't a great game. They surprised me in the third period getting the three goals. The way they were playing all year, you didn't really anticipate that happening. But if you think about it, Steve, in all those games, they've been showing a lot of fight. They've been coming back from deficits. They haven't been giving up the way they were last month and a month before. Like, you knew if you were down two goals, it was pretty much over. Even tonight, they just kept coming back. It was one of their biggest advantages coming into the season. It's what the Rangers were always known for. So over the last couple of games, that's been a highlight for me. The game isn't over if you're down two goals. The game isn't over if you're down one goal. So I like it. I mean, I think – I don't want to say that the Penguin game was overturn the season, because at this stage of the game, nothing really is going to change his season. But I love it that they keep coming back. They haven't given up. They didn't give up tonight. So that's what I take out of all those games, even with the St. Louis game. They keep battling. They keep finding ways. They're getting a lot more shots on goal than they were. The power plays come to life, as you said. They're just playing much better hockey all around. So, you know, just see where they can go with it. It's always nice to beat the Penguins. I'm always a little bit biased towards that anyway. I think they should always beat the Penguins. But, you know, something, a win is a win. You score three goals and down 3-0, and not down 3-0. You score three goals in the third period, I'm saying, and then you win it over. It's a good game. It's a good game, and I like their hustle. I like their whole style of playing. Goaltending's been much better, even though they lost tonight. I didn't think tonight was a game where Lundqvist lost the game for them. So I think they have a lot of positives. They're just playing much better hockey.
Well, my final question, because the Penguins and the Islanders did play tonight, who would you rather see lose? That would answer my question.
You know, I know who you're going to say, but I always like to see the Islanders lose. I can't help it. Steve, I've watched hockey when if the Islanders won a game, the Rangers would make the third place or the second place, and I still root against the Islanders. I cannot root for the Islanders. It's just not in me. And I hate the Penguins as much as you do, but I used to root for ties, but we don't have that anymore. So a lot of times I'm like, whatever, I don't even care.
You get the tie.
But
get the tie,
if you're
right.
Asking me, yeah, if you're asking me, I would take over that particular game, I would take the Penguins beating the Islanders. I would be, I don't want to say happier with that, but I guess I'd be happier with that result.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Tell everybody what content you have been writing lately for our Rangers. You know, the articles you put out there, so how they could be found, and tell everybody you could be found on our social media as well as we wrap up here at the Rain Podcast with Ranger Pro.
Well, I write for Elite Sports in New York. We cover all New York teams. I obviously write for the Rangers division. One of the most recent that I wrote about was if Ilya Kovalchuk could help the Rangers if he comes back from the KHL. Personally, I think he'd be a pretty good fit on the team. I mean, he's a pure goal scorer. He would definitely help the other Russians on the team. He happens to play with the Rangers' top prospect goaltender right now, Shortenskin, and they would all be coming over together. So I put those into my words of why I thought he could benefit, the Rangers could benefit getting a pure goal scorer like him. I mean, he's scored 400 times in the NHL. He's been a leading goal scorer the last two seasons in the KHL. So I think it would benefit him. But we'll see if they go that route or not. You can see me on Facebook at Ranger Proud and Twitter at Ranger Proud, Instagrams at Ranger.Proud, and just all the same content I can find as always. News, notes, interviews, scores, updates, whatever I can find, I put out there. Hope you guys keep following me, keep spreading the word out. I appreciate all of it. It's been a tough season, but nice to have all the supporters there keep sharing the page, so I do appreciate it.
Yeah, without a doubt. The Rangers lose to the Blue Jackets. This is the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud RP. We could be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps, as well as our website, bleedblueshow.com. Hit the / podcast or the podcast tab and take you to all the previous episodes of the Rangers talking blue shirts, man. So, RP, is good to talk with you. We'll be back next week, and we'll maybe have some more fun stuff to discuss with our blue shirts. Give the Ranger fans, Rangers Town, something to listen to. But other than that, sangre azul, bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.